So, why did you come down here to the library opening today?
Well, I'm very proud of this community. As I mentioned in my remarks moments ago, it's a very significant moment in the life of a town, of a village, when you can bring together assets from across the federal, state, county, local level, and then produce a wonderful library such as this that's going to be a meeting place, a place to expand the mind, to acquire knowledge. But it's more than that. It's not just the bricks and mortar here, although we're very proud. It was all made in America. It's also the fact that this metaphysical reality that is a community has an opportunity to come together to cherish the bonds of one another. So, you know, it's a moment that everyone can be very proud of, and I'm very excited and privileged to be here for that.
Can we ask you about two other local issues?
Yeah.
The Ghent power line, what is your position about that?
Yeah, well, I was very upset when I learned about what the company was doing. I reached out to the community. Kothi, who leads the organization over there in Ghent, along with Larry Andrews, the town supervisor, and we drafted a letter, and we send it to the Public Service Commission. And on the bright side, I was pleased with what the Public Service Commission did. They've essentially put an injunction on further action until a series of questions can be answered. I'm confident that working with the people of Ghent, that we're going to make sure that justice is done here, that their voice is heard.
So are they having hearings for these questions, or
yeah,
what's
the they'll have a series of things. There'll be hearings, but there also needs to be answers. The people of Ghent have a very strong case, and they have a reasonable argument, and it has not been addressed, and that is unacceptable. And I want NYSIG to be able to come and to address the questions of the people. I think that the community has put forward some reasonable and balanced proposals that can help mediate the situation. And to date, there has not been an adequate response from NYSIG.
The other thing we want to ask you about is the Farm Bill. I guess, what was your opinion of the Senate version? And can you take us through what the process in the House will be now?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're working our way through it right now. And I'm heavily involved in working with local farmers for the House side. So, Lindsay and Ben Shute, they live in Tivoli. They have the Hardy Roots Farm. They've had significant influence on our office's preparation. So particularly, they lead a national organization. We should be very proud of the fact that these folks actually lead a national organization. It's the National Young Farmers Coalition. And through a bill that's been entered into the House, H. 3236, which explicitly for young new farmers, beginning farmers, we're taking a good number of those provisions in that bill and getting it in. We've submitted it to the committee to be put into the Farm Bill. So we're talking about credit line grants to help beginning farmers. There's also initiatives there to help veterans. There's also important provisions for conservation. And on this, I've been working with Scenic Hudson's Ned Sullivan. And the Farmer Rancher Rangeland Protection Program is very important to our area. We've had a number of farms who have made a pledge to continue to farm on their land, and for that they get a grant, and there's an easement conveyed. This is an important program because, you know, of course I'm biased on this, but I think we have the smartest, the hardest working farmers in the world. Their issue is profitability, so we have to try to find ways to be helpful to their profitability. And one of the ways we do that is through this conservation program. Another way we do it is through energy. And we're working hard to make sure that the energy dimension is also specifically what I'm talking about here are at federal and then ultimately with state incentives through NYSERDA for the clean renewable energy, particularly the photovoltaics. And we've had a number of farms who have taken advantage of these incentives, and they put photovoltaics, the solar power on the farm. And what that's doing is immediately it's driving down their energy costs. So when we drive down their energy costs, that allows them more profitability, which allows the farm to flourish. And at the same time, we're helping the economy and we're helping our environment. In addition, another initiative is digesters, aerobic and anaerobic digesters that help with the natural occurrences on the farm to get energy from that. We also have other conservation programs. EQIP is a very popular program. So we've worked with the committee to make sure these initiatives are protected in the upcoming Farm Bill. Look, dairy, it's very important that we get the dairy policy right. This has been a very important issue that we've been working for about a year and a half, working very closely with dairy farmers so that we can make sure that that it's not just the hundredweight price, which is the current policy, generally speaking, that it's tied to input costs. Because if you're getting a good 100-weight price, but if you're paying an exorbitant amount for your feed, then you don't have profitability. So again, it's that going back to profitability. So let me also say that crop insurance, it was clear to me at the beginning, and then ever more clear after the storm, that the current crop insurance is not working. So, and particularly for the Northeast, where we have the fruit and vegetable farmers that, and in many cases, we have farmers that actually rotate crops right on their field, that there's difficulty in getting the kind of coverage that we need. So we're trying to simplify the process. We're also trying to get more what is often called whole farm coverage, because to date you have your NAP, which basically picks up at 51% of loss. Well, what about farmers that want to have more comprehensive coverage, or what may be called at times more shallow coverage? We're working to provide those kind of options in the upcoming Farm Bill. So, I mean, these are some of the initiatives. We're also working broadband. This is an opportunity to do that, working with Senator Gillibrand. In fact, I have to tell you, all these initiatives, I've coordinated with Senator Gillibrand because, you know, for those that study this issue, they know that when it comes to agricultural issues and issues on the farm, they're really not partisan, they're regional. And so we've worked closely to make sure that our initiatives, our amendments, are a companion to what Senator Gillibrand's doing in the Senate. So we're going to continue working.
Were you happy with the Senate version of the farm?
In some parts, yeah. Our part's going to be stronger on conservation, actually. I believe our piece of it is going to be even better for our conservation. As I mentioned, conservation is critically important to our farmers here, particularly in the Northeast. So, look, this is going to be a process. We'll go to Mark on the House side the week of the 11th of July. Then the next process after that is to go to the House floor. But then ultimately, the real hard work, which is going to be the important work to get the final bill to the president, is going to be a conference between the House and Senate so that we can reconcile the bill. That's actually going to be, I think, the pivotal moment is when we're working with the Senate so we get the ultimate bill. But I have to tell you that serving our farmers is the greatest source of pride and joy that I have. You know, our farmers represent all that's good in America, and they deserve our strongest support.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.